Sometimes, the best parts of festivals are the discussions that surround them, reflections on what we did and heard, anticipation of what's to come, and processing what it all means in relation to our spiritual work. We wanted to help either introduce you to that phenomenon or extend it for you. That's what this is about. I'm Reverend Jana Vende.
And I'm Reverend Michael J. Dane. We're priests of Arnriach Fane and members of Three Cranes Grove ADF in Columbus, Ohio. We're recording these sessions actually live in cars, actually going to festivals and events, so you will hear road noise, turn signals, and navigation prompts, but that's part of what makes it fun.
So, sit back and enjoy Druids
in cars
going to festivals.
This was an important conversation recorded on the way back from the 2018 ADF Trillium Spring Gathering. We talk about our patrons, how we build our relationships, our individual experiences with the goddess Ushis, and how we set our boundaries with those spirits we work with. This discussion is key because sometimes we have to walk away from those relationships too when we recognize that they aren't working. So come take this journey with us and listen in as we head home from one of the classic ADF festivals.
So what are some ways that you build relationships with spirits?
For me personally, a lot of what I do with initial building, like how do I meet them, is most of the time it's through trance work that I do. Occasionally it has to do more with myth, but that tends to be with the myths that I'm already familiar with. Like, I just already have that background knowledge, like even from high school with Greek mythology. And so I already know a little bit about them. Like, I would say maybe I don't know what their favorite color is, but I know who they are. I've seen them in passing. But most of my spirit relationships are actually more like minor spirit allies that I've met in trance. I mean, the only patron relationship I have is with Poseidon. But the rest of my allies are all minor spirits, I would say.
Yeah. I meet a lot of spirit allies sort of figures also through trance work, but also I do it a lot through reading mythology and through particularly reading poetry. So the Rig Veda has been big for me on that. Reading that has been lovely. I get a lot more of the character spirits sometimes from spell work. So the Merseberg spells, which are a series of healing spells and things like that, gave me a good understanding, or I think a different understanding of some of the Norse gods, because they go walking in the woods and there's a horse that goes lame and it's bone to bone and skin to skin, yada yada yada, and they heal the horse. And so I have had that kind of interaction as well, where it's not necessarily myth, but sometimes it's poetry, magic, spell work that happens to remain extant that gives me an idea. My patron is Asus, Gaulish god, and occasionally, so there's not a lot of source material on him, but there is a spell to cure a sore throat, essentially. It's just one line, but it gives me a little bit more insight than, say, the burn scalia glosses that I see most people working from, and things like that. So I get the character of the being often from trance work, myth, and also that sort of poetic tradition.
Yeah, I develop relationships with other deities. I wouldn't call them patron relationships, but they're definitely like close working relationships.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I'm doing research for a specific high day ritual, where we've made the decision to choose an obscure hearth culture. For example, we did an Avestan rite, and it was to Anahita, who, I mean, before even deciding that we were going to do Avestan, I had no idea who she was. She's the mother of waters. And I had no idea, but doing that research, I mean, I still work with her in a lot of those aspects. My favorite epithet of hers is she who stomps down the hate of all the haters. And I'm like, hate is going to hate.
Yep.
But she's a very powerful ally for me. That I met mostly through doing that research of reading the Avestan rituals, the Avestan hymns that still exist, as well as just research into what that culture was like and what they valued. So doing research for specific rituals has definitely deepened relationships with a lot of spirits for me.
Yeah, and I had a very similar experience with Ushas, the Vedic goddess of the dawn. There are folks who kind of assume that she's a patron of mine because of the amount of work that I have done in my life with her. But she's not. I mean, that patronage relationship is something that is very specific. We should maybe talk about that at some point. But the interaction that I have with her is just, it's vastly different from what I consider my patronage relationships. Or relationship at this point. One of those is no longer one of my patrons. But it really was reading the poetry, and I describe it more as a courtship. It's how I usually describe the relationship building that I have done and still do with Ushas. Maurer calls her possibly the single most enchanting figure ever written to in Indo-European poetry, and I totally agree with him on that. The phrases that are used around her, the ritual descriptors are just, they're beautiful. It really does capture the dawn in a way that I've never seen in poetry before.
Yeah, I had that similar experience with Ushas, actually, when I was doing, I was writing poetry, and it ended up being writing poetry to Ushas as the dawn, and it definitely does have that feeling of courtship, like you're praising her, you're saying nice things about her, and she deigns to grace you with her presence each and every morning, and that is a very beautiful thing.
It's kind of funny because obviously the dawn comes every day, but every day she can make it feel like she's just showing up for you.
For the first time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why we have that particular experience of courtship and getting to know her over and over and over again. Because every dawn is different, and every dawn is something that is special. And not only ordered and known, but also it's got that kind of hint of danger, which I think probably helps. You know, every dawn is another day of your life, and it's another day of your life taken away. It's it's both sides of that coin.
And sometimes it, like, she gives us her beauty, and she kindles the fire on the earth, but she doesn't make a lot of demands, which,
yeah,
I think is a different sort of relationship than I have with a lot of other spirits I work with.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my spirit allies, I mean, it's a very give-and-take, reciprocal relationship. And that's not something that I experience as much with her.
Yeah.
I definitely bring her more gifts, I think. And the gifts that she brings are worth more than I bring her. It's a very weird kind of balance that works well for that kind of relationship. But my other allies, I mean, they definitely, they have demands, they have their own agenda, they have their own things they want from me, just like I have the things that I want from them, and so it's a very different kind of working relationship. So, yeah, I mean, I asked some of my allies, I asked them specifically to kind of fill in to that gatekeeper role, almost. I expect them to help me travel to new places, to walk through those liminal spaces. But they also have their own agenda in that, and sometimes will take me places that I was not expecting to go.
Yep.
So that can be very interesting when you run into those kinds of situations.
It sure can. And one of the things that I hear a lot in paganism is the notion that, you know, a god is, or a goddess is hitting you upside the head and forcing you to do things, or, you know, doing things without your consent. And a lot of times, especially when people are at a loss for what to do with that, because it's weird, it's complicated, and it's hard when that happens, a lot of times I give people advice of, hey, you know, you don't have to take that, even from a deity. You know, our deities are limited. They are sometimes, you know, subject to emotion, and they may not always have your best interest in mind. One of my rules for spirit work is not all gods give good gifts. And sometimes you can say, no, I don't want that gift. And I have boundaries. And if you cross these boundaries, then we are not going to work together. And I think that's perfectly acceptable to say to any being that might try and push you to do things that you seriously think that you are not ready for.
It's interesting. In my early relationship with Poseidon, I had that kind of experience where it was specifically regarding trance work, because I work with him a lot in that kind of diving the depths, seeking the unknown. And he enjoyed doing that work with me and wanted me to do it all the time. And when I say do it all the time, I mean sometimes I would be... I don't know that it was quite horsed, because it wasn't like a spiritual possession, but it was all of a sudden I would be dropped into trance and be having those beginning trance journey things when I was doing other things. So there was definitely this, we had to arrange a bargain that he was not allowed to do that, except during appointed times. So I made that very clear to him, you know, if I'm driving, that's not okay. If I am the only one who's watching my kids, that's not okay. You cannot push me into trance during those times. And the bargain ended up being that I set aside time once a week to dedicate to that work. And so he knows that we have a set date, and he can't call me at 3 a.m. That we don't have that kind of relationship. But that he can count on seeing me every week at the same time, and that time is set aside specifically for him. So it was definitely like, it was a process to go through, and it was, you know, it just like it is with other relationships with people, it's sometimes an uncomfortable talk to have, to set those boundaries, and it makes a lot of emotions arise within you that you're not sure you want to deal with, because you've got this really strong relationship with a deity that you don't want to mess it up, but you also can't let it continue the way it is.
Yeah. One of the things that is worth noting is that these relationships should all be positive. They should improve your life. They should deepen it. You should learn new things. And sometimes that will involve boundary pushing. And that's okay. But it also needs to be something, you know, if your boundaries are getting pushed, then you need some say in how they get pushed, how far it goes. You know, it is not okay, I tend to think, to be in a relationship where you just get run over, over and over and over again, and you don't get anything out of it. There's a level of trust that you have to have, but you have to negotiate that trust. There's a level of consent you have to give, but you have to negotiate that consent. And it's okay to have experiences where you're not sure what's going to come next, but you need to be comfortable in those experiences.
And it's also really important to remember just the simple fact of if a deity or a spirit is asking you to do something that you don't want to do, you have that right to say, no, I'm not doing that. And it might turn into a discussion and a bargaining session of, well, how about this? Would you do this? And you have the right to set your boundaries on where you fall in those lines.
Yeah, you can certainly bargain with deities. Look no further than the myth. You can see it everywhere. And honestly, if saying that you're uncomfortable is a deal breaker for anyone, whether it's a god or a person, if saying you're uncomfortable is a deal breaker for them, then maybe that deal needs to be broken, and you need to figure out how to work around it entirely.
Yeah, maybe that relationship isn't for you.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It might hurt. It's still something that, you know, you're going to experience that emotional, visceral response. But I mean, it crosses that line into abusive relationship if you can't stand up for yourself, and if you're not allowed to do that, if you're not allowed to say, no, that's not okay, it's a hard thing to do, certainly, but it's definitely something that is necessary for you to grow in your own work, I think.
I think so. I mean, all relationships are an evolving process, and once they stop evolving, they become brittle and stale, and they're unlikely to continue in a way that feeds both parties if they aren't growing and changing. And I think that's one of the things to know is if you get to a place where you're just being worn down by an experience with a deity, it's time to seriously consider changing the deal or moving on. And there's no shame and there's no problem with doing that. And like you said, it might hurt, but sometimes it's necessary.
Thanks for listening, and there's more to come.
We welcome your ideas and questions. If there's something that you'd like to hear us discuss in a future episode, please drop us a line at druidsincars@threecranes.org.
If you would like to donate, you can do so at threecranes.org/donate.
Druids in Cars Going to Festivals is a production of Three Cranes Grove ADF in Columbus, Ohio. Learn more about our grove at threecranes.org and more about Druidry at ADF.org.
As always, keep circulating the tapes and let us pray with a good fire.